Okay, so I think I'm gonna start. I'm not gonna wait for more people because I think everybody's pretty much heading out already to get their flights and stuff like that. So, my name is Barbara. I work for Litvic Coal. Apache Aurora is kind of new and not so new, but it's an incubator project. And I'm gonna talk specifically about a component that has been the main component so far from Apache Aurora that's called the Fate Engine. So the agenda for today is that I'm going to explain a little bit what is the Fate Engine, and then I'm going to do some hands-on a little bit on my side here. You guys don't need to follow it if you don't want to. Just to show a simple example to how you download it, how you install it, how you write a new performer. We're going to the names like performance and orchestration, I'm going to go over through the slides and how it feeds on the system itself. And I'm going to show how you run a Fate orchestration, what we call Fate orchestration. Then you're going to have some time for questions and some slides that you can contact us if you have any questions. So one of the main goals of that presentation too is to bring more contributors to Aurora. We would like people to be contributing more and working more on the project and even using it. So the Fate Engine is actually in production on our system right now. So what we have a full stack pipeline that goes since the Raspberry Pi into the cloud, and the Fate Engine is being used on all of the levels of this stack. And it's pretty cool. I hope you guys like it. So what is the Fate Engine? The Fate Engine is a framework, and the goal of that is to be scalable and be fault tolerant. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with Akka systems. No, but okay.
No, I don't know.
but you know, like the concept of an actor-based or a message-driving application. So yeah, that's pretty much the Scala or Java library for an actor system. How you talk using actors and messages. So Fate Engine is a heavy user of actor system, and is implemented in Scala. And we use SVT as the build tool. And also the main goal and what we wanted to achieve was to be able to run on the vertical stack, so on the Raspberry Pi, on a standalone server, or in a cluster mode. So that's what the main goal of the Fate Engine, and we were able to achieve that with the Fate Engine. So a little bit about the names. That's what composed Fate most of the time. So if you go read the documentation or something like that, you always look across three names: performers, orchestrations, and ensembles. If I'm going too fast, just let me know because I speak very fast. So what is a performer? So the performer is a user-defined component. So Fate is pretty much the core, and everything else you need Fate to do, you need to write some code. And the performer is the code that you're going to write. This is an actor, pretty much is an actor in the system. And it needs to be developed in Scala, Java, or in any language that you can give me a jar. So if you give me another language, that's fine too. And also has to implement the Fate core abstract class called Fate Generic Actor. And that's how Fate is going to know how to read your actor, how to instantiate your actor, and how to connect your actor to other actors in the system. So what is an ensemble? So an ensemble is how we structure the hierarchy inside the actor system. So the ensemble is a group of performers. That's where you are actually defining how the performers talk to each other. So for example, let's say you have a system where you read a temperature sensor and you need to publish it to, let's say, to an MQTT. You could have two performers, one that reads the sensors and the other one that publishes to MQTT. And then you define that two performers inside that ensemble, and one performer would talk to the other one. I'm going to show how to do that, how to define it as like a dummy example. It's nothing fancy, but just how they can talk to each other and how they work. So the ensemble is pretty much what defines the scope of the performers. The performers cannot see outside of that scope. And the orchestration is the most high-level one. So that's pretty much, the orchestration is a group of ensembles. An ensemble is a group of performers. So that's how you define the hierarchy for the actor system itself. Because in the actor system, it works like, if you look at it as a family tree, it's going to be like the orchestration is my grandma. And the ensemble is my dad, and I'm the child. So that's how each one is responsible for each other. So the grandmother is responsible for my dad is responsible for me, and in terms of fault tolerance or failure in the system. So that's how we organize it. So talking a little bit of the scope of performers, the performers. So we have local performers that are just the ones that are inside the ensemble. So they talk to each other, they can see each other, and they can send messages and they exchange messages. But then we also, during the walk there, we saw that we need something that is more high level, because we've always had to define similar ensembles over and over again, because maybe one performance could be used by all of the ensembles who have been defined. So we create what we call orchestration performers. So they are in the orchestration level. Any ensemble inside the orchestration can talk to that group, that orchestration performer, but it doesn't belong to any ensemble. And then we also have shared performers. So the shared performers are in a more high level in the sense that it doesn't get created dynamically. It has to be started together with the fade chord when the fade engine starts. And then any performers from any orchestration or ensemble can connect to the shared performer. So in that case, let's say that, for example, that you have, you're collecting data from for a temperature sensor, a humidity, or air pressure sensors. And all of the three are publishing to an MQTT topic or something. So in that case, you could go for in two ways. You could have one ensemble where three ensembles, when each one has the sensor reading performer and the publisher. Or you could have one publisher on an orchestration level or in a shared performer level, and each ensemble would be responsible only for the reading of the sensors, temperature, humidity, and air pressure, for example. The downside with that is that it's because of the recovery from a failure. So, for example, if an orchestration performer dies, it means that all the ensembles that connect to that orchestration performer are going to die together and restart. Fade is going to try to restart as many times as you want, as it possible during its amount of time. But if it doesn't able to restart, then it lets the developer or whoever is responsible for that system to know that I couldn't restart that ensemble or that orchestration for some reason. So that's how just a diagram of the fade engine system. So the red squares are just part of the fade core itself. The main actor is the fade core, and all the new orchestration that you start, it's going to become a part of the tree. So an orchestration is responsible for ensembles, and ensembles are responsible for the performers. So that's pretty much how the actor tree looks like inside the system, and that's how they work. So just giving a little bit about ACCA, because it's pretty hard to explain the fade engine without understanding ACCA, but the parent is responsible for a child, just like I said about the family tree. So if the performer failed, who is going to receive that failure is going to be the parent of the actor. So that's how you create the groups. So for example, if these actors fails, only that part of the system is going to stop working, not everything else that was already running. Or it's going to get restarted as many times as we can until the system finally, you can configure how many times you want it to. Let's say try to restart it 5 times in 1 minute. If it's not successful, then stop it and send a message to the developer saying that something's wrong. So here, I'm gonna have a little bit of hands-on, just a demo how to download and install. So first of all, what you're gonna need is an SDK, Scala 2.11 and plus, and also the SDK is really important to be 1.8 and plus too. And SBT 0.13 and up. So just going through terminal, we are available on GitHub, the mirror from Apache. So we're gonna create, I already have my demo directories here, but let's create a new one to start from scratch, make sure I'm not cheating. So demo 4, empty, and then clone. So the project's not big, it's not like lots of lines of code, but so after you download it, you should have an incubator IOTA folder. We're gonna go into that, and you're gonna see that all the code is right. So we have around 240 unit tests to make sure that everything goes fine. So are you familiar with SBT? No?
What does SBT mean?
It's Scala Build 2.
Oh.
So it's the same as Maven. If you have using Maven before, yes.
Oh, I know Maven. I don't know the acronym.
I personally find SBT easier, but...
SBT, whatever.
Yeah, and specialized for Scala, that's the difference. So we're gonna start the SBT console here. Can you guys see that? Yeah.
I'm just check if my IntelliJ is doing something, locking my IV cache. Probably. Let me quit it. Yeah. Sorry about that. Now it should go through. Okay. So, and then an SBT, this is, we have the root project, and then the fake core is actually the SOAP project, so we just have to go into the fake core project, and we're gonna run the tests. Again? Why are you waiting again? Screw that. Okay. So why it figures out why are blocking my IV cache? Okay, now it's fine. So the test is gonna take a while, like 1 minute. So we're just gonna move forward with the demo until the tests are done. So let's see what was the next step. So after testing, we go actually normally build the executable of fake core. Right now we don't have a release of Apache IOTA, so we cannot download that from the Maven repositories or anything like that. Pretty much what you're gonna do in production, you're gonna develop like that. You're not gonna get the release, you're gonna generate your own build and deploy it. So we're gonna build the executable for that. That's nothing more than a jar that contains the fake core. Let me check if everything's fine. Oh god. 1 second, let me try it again. We got stuck for some reason. So to build the executable, it's assembly. I'm gonna do the assembly directly because it reruns the test, so we're gonna see the results of the tests anyway. Why are you blocking my IV cache? One second. Something that was running didn't remove the lock. Okay, sorry about that. So once we have the executable, we're gonna show you guys how to pretty much run a jar, what I think everybody knows how to run a jar. But meanwhile, we need to configure the Fae execution, the Fae engine itself. So to configure the Fae engine, we have the default configuration is under Fae core. Is under Fae core. No, why is that not going? Okay, CD incubator IOTA. Fae core source main resources, and then we have the application file. So that's the default application. For now, we're gonna make just small modifications on the application, so I'm just gonna copy this file over to whatever I'm gonna use it. So it's gonna be on my project Apache demo for here, okay. So CD back to here. So what we're gonna do we're gonna change the directories that Fae uses. So, Fae is gonna use three directories. It's called, one is the performance directory, that was what is all the jars that you're gonna generate, all your components that you wrote. The orchestrations, there are JSON files that define the configuration that you're gonna start. Like for example, when if you start the sensor's temperature, that's how you're gonna tell Fae how to start it and how to configure it, all the settings for that. And the checkpoint directory is because Fae needs the ability of receiving a JSON on the fly. So it's not actually a JSON file on our machine, but it can come through an MQTT message or something. So it checkpoints the file there in case of Fae gets restarted, it didn't lose the message that you sent before. So I'm just gonna create, define my orchestration. Sorry, I'm just gonna define the configuration. So the configuration uses the type safe config library. So what we're gonna do is that we're gonna use the same directories that I point to here. So let me just copy that over. So this is the checkpoint directory that's gonna be pointing to my project folder, /directory. /checkpoint. And also we're gonna, let me change it back to demo 4, sorry. Also the JSON repository, that would be the orchestration repository. Let's call it orchestrations 2. And my jar repository, there would be all my performers. And I'm also just gonna change the log level to info here, so it doesn't log all of this stuff. Okay, so let's check if it builds. So the build is complete, all the tests passed, and we have the jar file on the fake core target Scala iota fake core. That's just the default output for that. So to do the first run, we're just gonna run that as a Java application. So incubator iota fake core target Scala iota fake core, and we're gonna pass in the configuration that we just changed. One second. Is it on the same place? Demo 4 incubator fake core start now. Should be here. Okay,
The main class in the manifest?
Probably it is. Yeah, it is. It should
but
be.
The comment should be java-jar.
Bash here. That's why it was a problem. Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
So here, all the orchestrations have to be, all the JIRs has to be defined. So what I did is that I didn't create the directories. So I'm just going to create the directories here. Orchestrations, performers, and checkpoint. Okay, and now we should be able to start it again. Okay, so Faye offers two interfaces for you to check what is running actually on the system, and those by default it binds to the localhost port 16666. So when you go to this URL and Faye/active actors, you should see the trio of actors that are running.
By default, all the actors running are part of the Faye core itself, no user defined actors so far. So we have the Faye shared performance where all the shared performance that you create should be under it if you had one. We didn't create anyone. We have the watch service that actually watches the orchestration directory for creations and deletions of new JSON files. That would be our orchestrations. And JSON receiver is the one responsible for receiving the JSON on the fly, not reading from the directory itself. And the Faye named fire is the actor responsible for actually creating that tree that shows all the actors inside the system.
So we're gonna create a dump performer. So running active performers. Okay. So what we're gonna show, it's a pretty dumb performer. It's not something that can do pretty huge stuff. But what I'm gonna show is a performer is gonna propagate the timestamp, and I have a pre-planned performer that's just gonna print it. Then I'm gonna walk you through a little bit on how to write it. So I need my IntelliJ back. One second. So this is the print line actor. So that's how you define it.
So as you can see, all the performance should extend the page and our character. And the page and our character has a couple of constructor parameters. The first parameter is called params. And those params are what you use to customize your performer. So let's say, in that case,
my only custom param that I have is called initial message. And what it does, it pretty much just uses the initial message to be printed. So whatever you define on your JSON as the initial message is going to be printed before it prints the message. The second one is called backoff.
The backoff is, for example, in our product, the user can choose something, a command like, for example, if temperature and temperature is greater than 85 and vibration is greater than something, text me, let me know. The backoff works in the sense that we don't want the user to receive 10,000 texts over 1 minute. So here you define that if the actor do process a message and the backoff is on, it's like 10 minutes for example, then even though if the temperature is still 85 and the vibration is still what it is expected to be, I'm not going to text the user until the backoff period is done. So I text once, after 10 minutes, if it's still happening, I will text again the user. We have the connect to. The connect to is what actually gives the connection to the actor. So it tells the actor who he can send the message to. So in our case, the print line cannot send the message to anybody because it's just printing. But the timestamp actor should be connected to the print line actor because we want it to propagate the timestamp and we want the print line actor to receive it. The scheduler time interval is because commonly we have situations where the only thing we need is a schedule. We just need every 10 seconds we do something. So that would be the interval that you would define. And we have a function, an abstract function that should be implemented that would be called every 10 seconds or not. And I'm going to show you on the timestamp. Orchestration name and orchestration ID are just things to situate you if you want to print the name of the orchestration or do something with that. And if the actor autoscale, what I mean for autoscale is if autoscale horizontally, that means that if you have one performer that prints the timestamp, and let's say it's printing the timestamp every 1 millisecond, so the actor mailbox can get full, and actually on the actor model, you process one message at a time. Even though the actors are in different threads, you just process one message at a time. So the other skill, what it does is that we have the main performer, and behind the scenes we have as many as all the little performers that you want to have. So let's say that you say that the other scale, it all scale up to 10. So it means that I'm going to be processing 10 messages at a time. I'll be printing 10 timestamps at a time instead of only one message at a time. So they just they can use like round robin or whatever distributed method that you wanted to between the actors, but they'll be processing parallel and doing the same thing. So on this, for the generic actor or the performer, it has all the lifecycle methods that a normal actor has. So it has an on start, on stop, has an on restart that's not implemented here. But pretty much on the on start, you're gonna do all of your preparation. You're gonna open connections, you're gonna reserve, create directors, or whatever you need to do. And for example, read your parameters that's gonna come from the JSON. You're gonna understand a little bit better how to define it when I show how to write an orchestration, the JSON file itself. And on the on stop, sign to clean up everything. Close connections, close sockets, close everything, clean up what you need to. Yeah, that's it. And then on that case, we also have the main function of the generic actor called a process message. It can receive a message of any type. What it does is that every time the actor receives a message behind the scenes, it does some processing before, but then it calls the method process message, and then you can do anything with that message. In our case, I'm creating my parameter initial message with the string received, and then the message, and then the name of the actor that sent it. And I'm also calling a function from the generic actor called start backoff. That just means that I want to wait, I don't know, 10 minutes or whatever is defined in the configuration until I'm actually printing, then print the next timestamp. And stop monitoring is just info that you can get. So we have another interface from Faye that you can see messages. So if you go to your same localhost 16666, and you say monitoring events, the info column would be whatever you define as your stop message or your start message. So for example, if you have a counter, I want to know how many messages the actor process when it stops, and then you can save it, like it processed 10,000 messages or something.
They're fine. They can only communicate with agents in the same runtime, the same JVM?
Yeah.
Or they can access other agents somehow?
No, the only mode we have is the cluster mode, but then it's like each one has its JVM, but it just talks on the cluster mode, but it doesn't talk across it. For example, a JVM on the Raspberry Pi is not talking to the cluster directly.
Yeah, okay.
You have to use a message system like MQTT or something.
Okay, so I have to use the message system.
Yes. That's the print line actor. The timestamp actor, it's just showing the... Can you guys see that, or I need to make it big? Can you see that? So it's the same definition, extends the page generic actor, has the onStart, onStop, and the process message is empty because I'm not expecting my actor to receive a message. It's just a generator of message at that point. And then for the reschedule time interval, the function execute is the one that's going to get called every time you define that, every 10 seconds or whatever. So on the execute, the only thing that I'm doing is getting the timestamp and propagating the timestamp. The function propagates to, it propagates to all of the actors that are present on the connect to parameter, all of the actor references that I have there. So once you have that, you should first of all generate your jar, your performer jar. So I have that. So my project is here. I'm using SBT also. Feel free to use anything you wanted to. So I'm just gonna generate my jar for this performer. Okay, I don't know why, but my IV cache is not happy today, so I'm just gonna use the same jar I had here before. But just generate your jar and use your performer. So I'm gonna copy my jar to source, target, Scala, and then where is it? Okay, jar, sorry. So copy jars. That's the name of the jar, Apache demo, and I'm gonna copy it over to my demo4 folder. My dirs inside my performance directory. So that's where all the jars. That's all the jars are going to be. And now how to actually write the orchestration. So that's how the JSON file should look like for that orchestration. It has way more properties than just the one that I'm showing. It has the autoscale, defining a different mailbox type, and a couple of stuff from the actor system itself. But every orchestration has to have a unique ID. We have a command for the orchestration, so Faye understand what it should do. We have recreate, we have create, and we have delete. If you recreate something, the timestamp has to be greater than the previous timestamp that it had on checkpoint. If you delete something, if it's not running, doesn't matter, if it's running, it stops. And if you try to create, it only creates if it's a new orchestration. It doesn't delete the previous orchestration. A name, just to describe something if you wanted to. And then, as I said, each orchestration has ensembles. So then you define the set of ensembles that it's going to have. Each ensemble has also a UID. Everything, thinking about the actor path, it needs to be unique. So orchestration has to be unique among the Faye engine itself, but the ensemble ID just needs to be unique in the orchestration. It doesn't need to be unique for the entire system. So after you define the ID, you also have commands. Commands for now is not going to make a lot of sense on this presentation because the only thing that it does is that, let's say you have an orchestration with 10 ensembles, and you wanted to recreate that orchestration but only deleting one ensemble. So you give a command to the ensemble that is delete or create or update or something like that. So it doesn't restart all the ensembles, it only impacts that ensemble that you're trying to change. And then you define the performers. So the performers will also need to give it a unique ID, but it can be unique only from the ensemble as well. It doesn't need to be a global level. The scheduled property is the one that defines the timestamp, the scheduling turbo that I talked about on the constructor. So that's going to tell me if there is a schedule. If it's zero, it means that my actor is not a scheduler. Back off, it's going to tell like how many times you're going to, the time you're going to back off when you print the message. And the source. The source is going to tell me the name of my jar, the Apache demo.jar, the class path of my actor, the performer that I'm using, that case straight line, and then my parameters. So in that case, I have initial message, hello world, and that's going to be my parameter. That's going to be printed before the timestamp. And I also define the timestamp performer. My schedule in that case is 2, so every 2 seconds I'm going to propagate the timestamp. I don't have a backup for that. And I define the source in the same way by my class path, it's dot timestamp. And I don't have any parameters. The connections, it was defined the parameter connects to. So it's what tells which actor talks to each other. And how they talk is already defined by fate, but just who talks to each other. So in that case, I'm telling that my timestamp performer is going to propagate his message to the print line performer.
So I'm going to create a new one here, and I'm going to save on my demo 4. Directories and orchestrations. I'm going to call it demo.json. I'm going to save it. When I save it, Faye should pick up that something happened.
So the directory, the JSON got created and got processed. So in that case, it identified the edges that would be everything that connects to each other, and the nodes that would be all the performers on the orchestration. And pretty much that. Once you have that, you can see that the message is being printed, hello world, receive it, and it's being printed even though we're sending it every 2 seconds, we have the backup on, so you're going to see only every 10 seconds actually, because you send the first, you wait 10 seconds, and if you still can receive the message, it prints again. You can remove it, in that case you would see the message every 2 seconds as well.
So if you go back to your monitoring events, you should see
that all the other actors started, and as I said, the UIDs are used to create the path of the actor, and those are the orchestration, ensemble name, and then the actor name, and you have all the events. If it started, when it started, if it got restarted or stop it or something, just so you have an overview of the system.
And you should also be able to see the
new actors on the tree. That would be the same hierarchy that orchestrations, ensembles, and performers.
So just going back, print line, timestamp, the orchestration, that's what you should expect. Then that's about it. If you have any questions, you still have time to ask something.
Do you support lock deploy?
No. That is the next steps. It would be on the slides, but I removed it, sorry. But the next steps would be support hot deployment, where if the jar changes dynamically, it should restart, refresh all the orchestrations and everything that use that jar. And also we are planning on having somebody to design a visual tool that is able to generate that JSON that you saw for the orchestration, but visually, so you can drag connections between actors and everything. So those are the main steps for the next Faye engineering on Apache.
And the question here regarding connecting agents or performers, whatever you want to call, across multiple JVMs, you have never planned
that? That's not a plan for us, especially we can think about that discussion on the dev list, but especially for our use case, it's not secure enough.
Okay.
So that's the reason we don't send messages across JVM. We use more security message systems like MQTT or and Kafka now has a security system that we haven't tried so far.
Well, actually, the way the connection was going to be made, I was not even caring about it, as long as it was transparent for the system, you know. That's what I was thinking, actually. Like, I have multiple agents, because you have an orchestration layer, like,
yes.
That's what I'm talking about. But this orchestration layer is basically orchestrating everything that is in the same JVM, so.
Yeah, or in a cluster mode, but they don't actually, they don't make the connections. In our case, for example, we have MQTT across all the layers to send the message up.
Because everything you've done here, I was relating to there is like this framework in artificial intelligence, more specifically in symbolic artificial intelligence, that is called JATE. but like people know enough to use it in the industry because it's a research group. But more or less, they have the same design. Actually, we have actors we call agents, and we have like something that we call channel agents, which is like the agent that communicates with different systems. So that's how you can connect like multiple GBMs.
You can talk to different
outside.
Yeah,
you have like something that you register everything that you have in that system, and then it takes care of like if these agents are running one server or one virtual machine and this server goes down, it tries to recreate this agent somewhere else. That's actually my point, because like have the performance there. As long as you have an orchestration system, you could like start
yeah, we haven't think about that yet just because of the use case itself. Actually, we thought just because of the security point, we deal with like private data.
Sure.
So it was the main concern about having the message flying around in the ecosystem itself. But yeah,
like, actually, it's about the same time. It's not just for IoT, for those agents that I was talking with you before. Yeah, but it's a totally different use case. That's why I was asking. Because I want something that facilitates my life when I'm connecting agents.
Yeah, we have, for example, for our product, we have machine learning running down on the Raspberry Pi using Faye. So we have a performer that does the machine learning and has the models and everything. But everything comes through a message system. It doesn't, an actor in the on the cloud doesn't talk directly to the actor in the Raspberry Pi. Especially because most of the times our clients has a fog system, so we cannot actually reach out to the Raspberry Pi directly. So that was one of the main problems too when we tried to do that cross platforms, like talking to JVM.
Okay.
Okay.